Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now, we're looking to go back to revisit a story that we uncovered just over 2 weeks ago, one that highlighted that energy company Shell would be divesting from its downstream interests in South Africa. You might recall we spoke to Shell. They shared a voice note with us confirming their exit. Again, we spoke to many stakeholders within the industry to get better context and understanding of the impact that this would have on the economy. But we thought to revisit a statement that we had read at the time with Tebe Investment Corporation, which at the time it was reported that the partnership between Shell and Tebe Investment Corporation was the genesis of this divestment. But today we understand that the outcomes are very, very different. And to help clarify that for us, we are joined for the first part of our conversation to give us more context to the investment and understanding is the Chief Investment Officer at Tebe Investment Corporation, Rapulane Mabelane, who joins us tonight. And of course, to share a more deepened view in terms of insight on BE Partners for foreign direct investment and how the journey is typically navigated, we will be speaking to Israel Noko, CEO of NPI Governance Consulting, in just a moment. For the moment, though, we're going to have a conversation with Rapulane Mabelane. Such a pleasure to speak to you, Rapulane, and thank you for joining us this evening, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, Gugu.
A delight to speak to you, Mr. Mabelane. And I guess there's a lot that we're going to extrapolate from this conversation, but it is important as well in the interest of transparency and to highlight the impartial nature of our show from an editorial perspective that we do get an understanding of who Tebe Investment Corporation is first and clarify some of the questions and concerns that have been raised around the public about the genesis of the organization and even its shareholding in Kaya FM.
Sure. No, thank you very much. And perhaps let me start with that one. So Tebe is a investment management company invested in a wide ranging sectors of our economy. Mm-hmm. But perhaps before we even go further, let me just say that Tebe is proud to be one of the founding shareholders of Kaya from its establishment. I think it's important for some of your listeners who may not be aware that actually from day one, Tebe, together with other shareholders, were there. Tebe has now exited most of its shareholding in Kaya. We are currently in the process of finalizing the balance of our exit. Of course, as a shareholder, Tebe is not involved in the management or editorial decisions of Kaya. I'm sure those are decisions that are taken by you and your producers. So I just thought I'd just get that out of the way for now. It's a disclaimer.
Yes, 100%. Very important. And as we build on that, I think it's also important that we then clarify the genesis as well of Tebe Investment Corporation. Again, this perhaps links to a lot of questions and concerns that have been raised by the public around political affiliations. So maybe give us an understanding of your ownership structure, but more so the ethos and the mandate that you follow as Tebe Investment Group.
Sure. So, in fact, Tebe is now over 30 years old, right, as an investment management company. So as we celebrate and we go to the polls next week and the country celebrates 30 years of democracy, Tebe came into existence before the dawn of democracy in 1992 in particular. So we are a very proudly South African, Black-owned, Black-managed company. That over the years has played, I think, a crucial role in the development of the economy of the country, the advancement of transformation in particular. So as I said, Tebe came into being in 1992 before democracy. So you can imagine Tebe actually pre-existed the existence of the BE Act and all other laws and codes that came with that. Mm. From the very beginning, Tebe was established really as a company aimed at making sure that as it continues to succeed in business, it does so by also promoting communities and developing communities. Yes. So over the years, we have been invested in various sectors of our economy. We are currently invested in about four pillars of our economy: petrochemicals, which is, I think, the essence of this conversation. We'll talk about that just now. We are in power and infrastructure, both on the renewable side, and also some coal assets. We are also invested in business services and food and agro. And as I indicated earlier on, until recently, we also were invested in the media through our shareholding in Kaya.
Yes.
From the beginning, Thebe was owned, was founded by the Batho Batho Trust. We are very proud to have been part of that. And over the years, a number of institutional investors came on board, the likes of Sanlam, private equity, the likes of Old Mutual. In fact, before Old Mutual, there's a company called FedShaw. I don't know if you remember that entity. Later, that was folded and became part of, I think, Investec. Investec became a shareholder. Later on, APSA also joined. In fact, our relationship with APSA and Sanlam spent many, many years with both of them having just recently exited, yes. I think, in the last 3 years or so, because they are, you know, private equity players. And so from time to time, they need to refresh their mandates. They need to reallocate capital,
yes.
and they need to look for relevant opportunities given their own investment mandates. And so Thebe is no different. Thebe plays in that sector also. Yes.
And I'm glad, Rapulani, that you've given us some context and understanding here to make sure that we leave none of our listeners behind and they have a full context and understanding of who you are as an organization. And as you've mentioned, your investment mandate. And for the most part, in compiling my research for this conversation, what stands out to be clear, even from the statements you've shared as Thebe, is that you have been evaluating your investment pillars. And as a result, the decision to actually exit from Shell took place a good 2 years ago, despite the reports initially saying otherwise. Help us understand where and how the decision to divest from Shell came about back in 2020 or leading up to 2022, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. Perhaps briefly to say, you know, we've had a very long, stable and strong relationship with Shell Downstream South Africa. Starting in 2002, Thebe first acquired its shareholding, 25% at that stage, in what was then called Shell South Africa Marketing, which I think for our listeners is effectively your retail stores, now where you and I buy our fuel for our cars. In 2008, largely as a result of the success of this partnership and relationship, we then also invested as Thebe 25% in what was then Shell South Africa Refinery. Mm-hmm. So the refinery and the marketing were kept in different legal entities. This were later in 2015 joined together to form what is now Shell Downstream South Africa. And Thebe now owns about 28% of that, with Shell through some other vehicle, owning about 72% of that. And I'm saying strong and stable partnership. Very important to note also, it really was a very flagship investment at the time. Thebe actually used to own its own fuel stations, which we then, together with some debt funding and our own cash, we then valued all of that package, and we used that to make an acquisition of our 25% in Shell Downstream South Africa. So the investment by Thebe into Shell, there I say, was actually not a typical BEE transaction. Thebe funded its stake in this investment, put its own money, substantial amount of money, into millions actually, into this investment, right? Yeah. Now, like any other investment management company, from time to time, you review and say, where am I? Where can I best allocate my capital given my own strategy, right? As Thebe was approaching 30 years of existence, we started having conversations about where is the Thebe of the next 100 years going to be? What are those sectors that are going to be driving the growth in our economy, in our region, yes. in our continent, in our world? And so we revisited that. And as part of that, we decided that we think after 20 years, at that stage, it was 20 years, of a partnership with Shell, it was time for us to exit our investment. As part of the initial transactions that we had with Shell, Thebe always had a put option, which is effectively an exit mechanism, right? Allowing us after a certain period of time, which became effective from 2016, for us to then exit our investment. We did not immediately exit in 2016. We actually continued for quite a while until, as I say, about 30 years or so in our existence, we thought it is time for us to best deploy our investment and capital somewhere else. We then notified Shell in accordance with our agreements of our intention to do so. Google, just one correction. It was actually in 2022 when we, about August, when we notified Shell of our existence, or sorry, of our intention to exit. So our intention to exit came way before Shell itself announced recently, as you know, in the past week or so, their intention to exit. We gave them that notice a while ago, and all of this was in line with agreements, commercial and legal arrangements that we have with Shell Downstream South Africa and Shell as our core shareholder in that investment.
And maybe this, I'm glad you've clarified that. It's also important, I guess, for us just to understand, has Shell's commitment to South Africa always been based on its partnership with Tebe at all?
Well, in South Africa, as I say, Tebe and Shell have had a partnership in what is effectively the downstream business, right? Yes. Which is from the refining of your crude and the importation of your finished product all the way to where you and I buy our fuel in our various garages. In that regard, yes, Shell and Tebe have always had a relationship there. I think Shell, obviously, as a shareholder and as an independent organization, from time to time has also looked at other opportunities. I can't talk to those. I think Shell is best place to get. I can only say that in relation to our partnership, we have been together, having enjoyed this strong, long partnership of 20 years in the downstream business of the fuel sector.
Got you.
I think things really came, unfortunately, sour once Tebe indicated to Shell its intention to exit. And we can talk about that. I don't know if you want me to go there.
And I think that is the important part, because this is where the challenge around the valuation of your exit price has come to the fore, to such an extent that this has been through an arbitration process. Help us understand this for us as South Africans as to where what the issue of contention is and why it's actually taken so long to resolve.
Yeah. Google, it really is unfortunate it has taken this long. And I can say the delay in the conclusion of this transaction is not of our making. Shell delayed extensively, in our view, very unreasonably, the conclusion of this transaction. As I say, we informed them of our intention to exit already by August 2022. We are now talking, it is what, almost 2 years later, and we are still stuck in this. In the meantime, Shell itself, like Tebe did before, has also decided that they also, after reviewing their global portfolio, are going to exit certain aspects of their participation, right? Again, just to go back to say, like any other investment management company, as you review your strategy, you also from time to time value your portfolio. Mm-hmm. And so our investment in Shell has been independently valued like our entire portfolio.
It follows
a very rigorous process. Excuse me?
Are you able to disclose the quantum?
Not at this stage. Google, please just bear with me there. I think these are still some of the commercial issues that we will be discussing with our partner. I think out of respect for them, let me keep that for now.
Sure.
Suffice to say that it is quite a substantial amount of money, because it is 28% that we own in that business. And that valuation was not arrived at as a thumbsuck. It followed a very rigorous internal and external valuation in line with internationally accepted valuation principles, which we have been following for over the years. So this is not something that came only in 2022 when we notified them of our intention to exit. It is something that we've been doing as part of managing our portfolio, including managing our investment in Shell Downstream South Africa. Mm. Having done that, unfortunately, Shell took so long just to come back to us with their view on valuation. So it took them almost 8 months before they could come back to us to say, well, thank you for your notification to us. This is our view with regard to the valuation. I would expect, like any other business arrangement, that indeed we may disagree on what we think the valuation is based, perhaps on what we think the weighted average cost of capital should be, or what the view of the future should be. That you can understand. But first of all, just the inordinate delay of a good 8 months before you even tell us what your view is of valuation, we find that really, in our view, very unreasonable. We find it very regrettable. And we just think it really is bad faith, quite frankly. You know. And I say this also because, remember, as Tebe, we are an investor in the business, but we don't run the business. Shell actually provides us. Of course, we sit on the board. And so Shell provides us with all of this information, being the business plans, the forecast, and so on and so forth. We take that as Tebe, and we then run that through our models to arrive at a figure right? Or evaluation, based obviously on also other macroeconomic variables that you take into account when you do evaluation of an investment of this nature.
Perfect. Rapulane, under pressure for time, but I do just want to wrap up. We understand the arbitration process is still taking place at the moment. There's still findings and outcomes to be derived, and of course an understanding that needs to be met between Tebe Investment Corporation together with Shell. I'm keen to understand, do we have any guidance on timelines, given that they haven't been definitive?
No, we don't. Suffice to say, I can indeed confirm that we have referred the matter to arbitration as Tebe. And again, unfortunately, Shell is delaying the conclusion of this matter itself. We are really hopeful that given also their own intention of embarking on other transactions, that we can all in good faith move with speed, right, towards an amicable resolution of this matter. We're talking about partners that have been together for over 20 years. Yeah. We really think that it would be such a shame that a relationship of that nature, yep, a flagship investment of this nature, right, which was really transformative at a time, not just in the sector, but in the country economically, generally, should end up in the manner that it is at this stage. It looks like it's headed that way. But we are still hopeful as Tebe that we'll be engaging as partners in good faith, right, reasonably, with integrity, and all of us say, how best do we do this in a manner that ensures that the brand and reputation of all of us as partners, right,
yes,
is not damaged in this process. And in fact, that, by the way, the project of transformation and BEE,
yes,
is itself not sullied in this process.
100%. You've lifted up on a beautiful point that allows me to segue to our next guest, Rapulane. So truly appreciate your time this evening, sir, and the context and clarity that you provided around,
sure,
this deal. That's Rapulane Mabelane, sure, Chief Investment Officer at Tebe Investment Corporation. And as you've highlighted and heard, he's really lifted on a point of transformation, which is an important agenda that we have in South Africa to ensure that growth and, of course, rewards are equitable across the spectrum of the population. And someone who's an expert within this space is Israel Noko, the CEO of NPI Governance Consulting. Israel, I've kept you quiet for way too long, but I really appreciate the perspective we got from Mr. Mabelane, because it helps us fully comprehend the complexities within this, not only this transaction, but also the overview of the space where BE partners are sought to actually, or investment houses who comply with the BE, yeah, charter and the codes are actively participate with members of investment. And I'm keen to understand, as you take a look at this particular dynamic, the journey that Tebe Investment Corporation has walked is one of any investment house, including any other corporate company that would invest for a certain period and then divest. But I'm keen to understand how this narrative and complexity, specifically linked to transformation, typically muddies the waters, or, you know, builds up a negative traction of pessimism around the success of these transactions, even though they've been quite favorable.
Yeah. Good evening, Gugu, and good evening to all the other listeners out there. So, you know, the journey that Tebe has gone through is actually quite a normal one. You know, from my experience, Tebe has done some very, very good strategic investments in the past. And, you know, from their experience, you know, they've probably yielded quite a good return on their investments. And that's what normally should happen in investment houses. With all that being said, I think, you know, what this certainly does do is that it does raise the suspicions about the intent of other partners looking for partners. South Africa is a country where we need to address the economic imbalances of the past. We need to try and make sure that we include as many people in the economy that are Black people. And therefore, you know, we've got an agenda, which is basically outlined in the BE legislation. Mm-hmm. So the reality is that anyone wanting to come into South Africa will need to embrace transformation, mm-hmm, will need to make sure that their strategic objectives in South Africa also factor in the BE legislations, and there's a journey that you're going to have to go through. But what this certainly does, and I'm looking at it primarily from a local BE perspective, is that it's going to, you know, probably encourage a lot more scrutiny in terms of what people's long-term objectives are. In terms of whether or not they want market share, or do they want to kind of look at more growth in the business itself, and you know, making sure that those value systems are aligned.
Mm. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it does allow us to you know, pique our interest of the foreign investors. And in my mind, I'm already rewinding to Walmart buying out Massmart earlier on in the decade, and many other themes that come to mind. But on this note, though, Israel, it also helps us. Can we contextualize the typical journey of a local investment partner, whether it should be a decade or two decades, or if we do need to see some kind of circulation of capital a lot earlier on, but also understanding the different nuances of different investment houses? So I'm assuming it's there isn't a cookie cutter approach, is there?
Yes. And I think it's really, really important to stipulate this up front, that investment houses operate under a mandate.
Yes.
And that mandate is dictated to by their own investors. And those investors will give them a time frame. And the time frame is that either by 5 years or 10 years or whatever time period, they want to be able to see a return on investments, and they want to be able to exit those transactions. Because ultimately what they are professional investors. And I think quite often we get forget about the mandate of investment company is to invest, just like a bank's mandate is to lend money, you know, so that's what it is, not to stay in perpetuity there. And I think, you know, the moment that it starts to you know, go down that road, there's probably something that's probably changed about their mandate, and perhaps maybe could cause some sort of unhealthy relationship, then a codependency relationship. I think it's really important that when anyone is bringing an investor into the business, that they do realize that there will be a sunset to that relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that in your agreements that you have very clear provisions that talk about valuations, method of exit, you know, when there's a dispute, how that gets resolved, all of which has been done in this particular transaction that Tebe is involved with. But you have that outline in there, because that's what they do. They invest, see a return, and then it's on to the next opportunity.
100%. I guess what's also important to take away for us as South African consumers, Israel, we perhaps don't fully always comprehend the complexities around these deals and the structures of the organizations and, as you say, the longevity of the partnerships and the sunset clauses. But I guess it is imperative for us to have a few key takeaways from this example and perhaps many others to fully comprehend their relevance, their importance as well to the change in the socioeconomic structure of South Africa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think, you know, in the long term, you know, the B legislation isn't just an event. You know, it's a journey, you know, and potentially it's probably going to be a 60-year journey or even longer, or probably might maybe be shorter, because we've got so many challenges that we have in our countries. And I think, you know, the reality is that maybe in the long term, we should be also factoring other things, you know, like skills developments and supporting of SMEs, where, you know, we need to be focusing resources onto those areas of transformation, because we need to encourage more jobs. We need to support more businesses to be successful. And ultimately, you know, in the end of the day, we then have a growing economy, which is good for everybody, good for the investors, good for local people, and good for the continent in the end of the day.
100%. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Israel. Truly appreciate it, as always, giving us more clarity on what can be overwhelming stories and statements, but really do have an impact in society going forward. Thank you again for your time. That's
thank you very much.
Israel Noko, CEO of NPI Governance Consulting, giving us his feedback and perspective, just reflecting on the importance, the relevance, and of course, understanding the complexities that typically take place between investment houses who have mandates to fulfill, and whilst they might be empowered and comply with the BEE codes, do help facilitate the participation of foreign investors in the country. And earlier we spoke to Rapulane Mabelane, the Chief Investment Officer at Tebe Investment Corporation, who also took us on a journey to fully comprehend comprehend the role, mandate and function of Tebe Investment Corporation, how it actually then journeyed with Shell for more than 22 years until a challenge around the valuation of their exit price became a challenge. So much so that it has been dragging on and now been taken to arbitration, where we have yet to hear the outcomes. So this helps clarify the fact that Shell is not leaving South Africa because of a challenge with its BEE partner, being Tebe Investment Corporation, but rather understanding where the challenge that they have with Shell comes from, and understanding that for their own reasons, as has been mentioned in a voice note that we had from the spokesperson of Shell just over 2 weeks ago, clarified that it is an independent decision that they've made to divest from South Africa. Many more layers of the story that we will continue to peel back at and unpack in the upcoming weeks.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.